What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? Hey, champions, welcome back to another awesome episode of Champion Reads, where we review best-selling books from best-selling authors, go over the principles, and share our knowledge so that things that work for us can hopefully also work for you. My name is William Blake. I am one of the executive producers of this show. And we also have the founder of Champion Circle, John Kovach Jr., here with us as well. This whole podcast is brought to you by Champion Circle, which is a mastermind and accountability business that helps individuals who are high achievers and high performers to get the results that they are looking for in their business and in their life. And I'm super excited because today, as we've been reading over The One Thing by Gary Keller, we're going to go into something of gold. And this is the question that the whole book revolves around, which is, what is that one thing that I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? We're also going to talk about applying that to the big picture and applying it to the small picture of what we can do right now, as well as go over the questions of asking the great questions to get the great answers. Be big and be specific. So without further ado, let's get into it. And let's jump into the question first. I know man, that question, the first time I read this book, it wasn't on my top 10 list at the time, or even top 5 list. But when that question popped up, I can tell you that then I was at college. I think I switched over from accounting to a business management degree. And I think John, that was also the first time I met you, is when I came across this book. And that one question resonated with me to think of what many people think of, like the 80-20 rule that pops up, where 20% of the things you do create 80% of the results. And it brought my attention to, instead of doing a bunch of different things and spreading myself thin, to simply focus on one, or maybe, two things. That's just me. I love staying busy, productive. I love staying productive. Just focus on more things and taking that light into like a laser form, a single light point to catch fire. I'd love to hear from you, John, about that question and any thoughts that you have about it.
The human race was conditioned to think more is more. And we have become increasingly skeptical of the popular phrase less is more, because if we can have more at our fingertips, then we have more. Google, research, information, technology, all of that, having it within reach is more. But that conditioning has caused us to be skeptical of our own intuitions, which allow us to simplify, to buckle down, and to really look at what's most important. And in our mastermind groups, Willie, at Champion Circle, a really hard question, and we typically start with this question, is, what is the most important thing you need to work on your business today or to work towards on your goals or whatever? And people truly struggle with this question because they're not conditioned, and we understand that. So there's compassion, there's empathy with us. We understand that. But training your brain to think in that direction, to think that I can identify one thing, is a really, really great habit. And I'll quickly answer before we get back to the question. There are ways and methods you can start to identify what that one thing is. And it starts with writing things down. If you can just write a list of to-do items or tasks that all go into the realm of one important goal, you can begin to look at all of them and say, well, what's the most difficult? What's the most important? What's the easiest? You know, what can I get out of the way? And a lot of people like to look for the easy things and leave the hard things for last, which and that's the beginning of procrastination and a lot of other habits. But long story short here is you can develop the skill of identifying the one thing in your life by listing things out and prioritizing or looking at things from a bird's eye view and saying, wow, I can take a look at all the things that I need to do and decide for myself what is in fact the most important thing. And there are other resources and methods. This is just one I like to suggest, but getting back to your question or the question we want to discuss, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? And just backstage, you know, Willie, we were just talking. The answer is already there. You already know the answer. The only reason why we ask people other people questions is because we either need validation, reassurance, or we don't trust our own intuitions. Now, you might say and argue that, oh, I don't know the answer to a math equation. That's why I would ask help for that. And the answer is you can definitely figure it out. But you may have to do some research. You might have to go back through textbooks. You might have to do a bunch of other things too. The problem is we're afraid to do that because we're so conditioned to instantaneous results that we need to know and we ask things that aren't of importance. So training ourselves and our brains to really seek out and identify the one thing is a skill set. And it used to be a soft skill. It's now a hard skill in that hard isn't as in your typical hard skills, but it's hard as in difficult because we've conditioned ourselves otherwise. But there's one answer out of the many I could give to that question. What are your thoughts on this, Willie?
There are so many, especially in a society that we live in, where instant gratification is the normal. I remember decades back, okay, I'm not that old, goodness. I remember back when I was a kid, probably like 2 decades ago, when you'd watch TV and you would have to wait. If something that you loved came up, you'd have to watch the episode. You're super excited about it. And then you'd have to wait a whole nother week for it to cycle back. I'm specifically thinking of the Saturday cartoons. And you have to wait the whole week to hit the next episode. And then after that, you'd only get a 30-minute dopamine hit. And then you got to wait until the next episode comes out. And it was really hard, especially when it was like a new season and they were coming out with new episodes. But now, what do? You go on your phone, you hit an app, and then a plethora of shows that you can watch pop up. And you don't have to wait at all. You can simply, boom, just get it. And in that society of just that instant gratification, we think that if we think about it, that we'll get an instant answer. But that's not the case. In most cases, you have to search for it. And not even searching for it, you have to re-search for it, which I think I love the word research, because it's not just about searching it once and then boom, it comes. It's about redoing it over and over and researching it. So the goals that we have, the whatever it is, the clarity that we need, we just got to search it. We just got to keep going and searching, because it's through the searching over and over again that helps us get to that one thing. And even though we're saying it doesn't take, like, it doesn't come right away, it also doesn't take a long time to get it. It's just putting in a little bit of time to do the searching.
Yeah, here at Champion Circle, we love the phrase and the method of reverse engineering by starting with the end in mind, right? You visualize and understand where exactly the end result of what you're working towards. Let's say it's a goal, and that goal is making $1,000. And so you see yourself with that $1,000, how you received it is the deciding factor of what goes into it next. And this might be a transition to that second question we wanted to discuss today, Willie, but the process of elimination comes from reverse engineering. Interrupted my call. Hopefully you can still hear me. Thumbs up. You can still hear me.
Yep, we're good.
Okay, everything froze. So let me boom back out, back in. All right. Let me know if you can still hear me, Willie. A call came in while I was using this.
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. But the process of elimination is awesome. It's powerful, but it comes through this idea and methodology of reverse engineering. And we can come up with the important tasks to fulfill a particular goal. And in this example, the $1,000 is how you plan to obtain that $1,000. And like you said, in the research is that if you've made $1,000 before, you can tap back into how you did that and learn or relearn how exactly you did that and then repeat. The rinse and repeat cycle is so awesome because as natural, innate creatures of habit, we love to repeat things that we've successfully done. And for things that we have not done before, it is very important and characteristic to search within us and to look also outward at others who have done what we are trying to do and to not mimic, but to almost copy their process. But getting and gaining confidence and then utilizing our own skill sets to achieve things, that's a whole other skill set that people lack. And there's this path of big picture. If you don't mind, I'll just transition for a second. The path of the big picture, you know, what's my one thing? And then the small picture, which is what's my one thing right now? Identifying that there's a big picture. You may not be able to build Rome in a day, but Rome consists of pillars and concrete and granite and getting those to point A so that they can be the structure and foundation for an incredible everlasting structure takes work. And those are the most important things that day versus the overall goal. And so a lot of people underestimate the power of just writing things down or mapping it out or searching through your folders or your journals. You know, people really underestimate taking a pen to paper and writing down their thoughts because in it are secrets. In it are things that your brain is leaving trails and breadcrumbs for you to follow and find and tap into that will ultimately give you the answers that you're looking for and seeking. So kind of a bigger widespread picture, but we always talk about how reverse engineering is a really, really important skill to learn because it does help you become a strong user of the method of identifying your one thing, whether it's the big picture or the little picture. All the same, again, going back to the first question is, you know, it needs to be an answer that either fulfills what you're trying to do or makes everything necessarily easier. And I think that that's just, again, something that we're all learning. And as we're rereading this book, we're researching for the answers that we were looking for when we bought it, or, you know, when we thought, oh yeah, let's read the one thing. And in the title, you've got the answer, but then in the pages, you're like, oh, I can't believe I didn't remember this. Like, this is beautiful. This is gold. So anyways, that's just some thoughts there.
It's researching and relearning. And there's something so powerful to that. Because I remember when I was growing up, I'd go to church and go to Sunday school, and they'd talk about always say your prayers, read your scriptures, go to church, be with family. And still today, they still over and over again keep talking about it. And it's like, well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the new stuff. But that's kind of like the fundamentals. If you want to build a relationship in this instance with God, read your scriptures, pray. And every single year, over and over again, they repeat it. Not because there's something new and exciting about it, but because that's what's needed to be able to build off of as you build that foundation. When you mentioned reverse engineering, it made me think of a really cool thing that happened with a client of mine, where we reverse engineered his goals. He wanted a girlfriend, which is a really funny reverse engineer, but it worked so well. That's the wonderful thing about reverse engineering. So he wanted a girlfriend. You say, okay, in order to get a girlfriend, he first needs a friend that's a girl. Awesome. How do you get a friend that's a girl? Well, you need to have a group of friends where there's some females in there. Cool. How do you get a group of friends? Well, you need to go out to places and you need to talk to people to be able to make friends. Awesome. So we split that off into two. We have going out to places, put a pin in that, and then talking to people. How do you have that? How do you go out and talk to people and have that confidence to do so? Well, that splits off into two of being able to, one, be confident in yourself, some self-love and self-help, and then the skill of asking questions and communicating. And so from that little example, we were able to figure out, okay, going to events, being able to work on communication, and then the self-love to be able to boost his own self-confidence. And from that, we took that big picture of, I want a girlfriend, to then down to that small picture of, what's the one thing I can do right now? Well, I can either start going to events, or I can start learning better questioning, or I could meditate and be with myself to be able to build confidence that way. So when we reverse engineer the goal, no matter what it is, from a business, which is usually what we talk about, all the way to wanting a girlfriend, reverse engineering works because it creates a path that you can take and you can see the direction to be able to get to where you want to go. And sometimes it sucks that we don't have that right away. And it takes a little bit of time to figure it out. But in all honesty, it doesn't take that much time. Like, it took me and my client about 30 minutes to go through all that and create a plan based off of that. For the people who are listening, what's a goal that you're working towards? Reverse engineer it like that. It's pretty common sense when you ask yourself, okay, if I want a girlfriend, okay, I need a friend that's a girl, right? And then you keep going. And once you get to the bottom, you're able to think of the daily and weekly things you need to do that can help you get to where you want to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, I may be ahead one step, but moving into that third final topic and question we wanted to discuss, Willie, is asking good questions. I think you brought this up beautifully. Asking good questions. There is an art to asking good questions. You know, you mentioned scripture reading, and any historical document or literature uses incredible language and thoughtful, considerate, and intentional communication through the art of asking great questions. And one of the things we've got to learn to do is to ask the right questions, ask good questions. In school, and here I am bringing up public school. In school, we were taught that there are no dumb questions. And I want to just say, you know what? That's incorrect. And I hate to say it because it excludes a lot of people, makes people feel bad, but it's not meant to make people feel bad. There are dumb questions. There are bad questions. But there are great questions. And sometimes you have to ask a bunch of dumb questions in order to feed and weed out all of the bad questions so that you have a good question at the top of your list. And I think that we're not asking the right questions. We may be using language that considerably focuses on now, present, immediacy, as we were discussing earlier. But we need to think about using questions and asking questions that will quicker produce results. Definitely bad English. That was a terrible way to say that. But I definitely think that when you use good questions, you get better results. And here's an example. We were just talking the other day. I can't remember if it was on a Champion Circle podcast or if we were in a team meeting. But when you manifest, okay, when you use manifestation or affirmations as a source and process to sharing powerful insights with yourself and boosting confidence on a daily basis, there's a couple questions that I love to ask as affirmations, because an affirmation or a manifestation is letting you know that, like, it is great. I am full of greatness right now. And so what you're going to do is you're going to ask this question. The manifestation question is, how can it get any better than this? When you ask yourself that question, how can it get any better than this? What you're saying, what you're affirming, is that it's already good and that gratitude is great. And everything that I'm experiencing and going through is phenomenal. So how could it get any better? And what you're internally doing to your subconscious mind is you're opening it up to more options. You're focusing on the good that you do have, and you're welcoming more good, more possible good out there. And just by manifesting this rhetorical question to the universe and to yourself, you're actually opening up your frontal cortex to options of receiving so much more. There is science backed by this. It is fantastic. And then another question I love to ask is, and we were talking about this in service, is that, how can I, what's the question I like to use? It's, how can I shine my light? You'll like this one, Willie. How can I shine my light on others today? And again, a rhetorical question for you as an affirmation or a manifestation to yourself in the mirror. And how can I shine my light? What that question already implies is that I am a light, that I am a source of good and positivity. What that question does is it leaves your subconscious and your conscious open to the option of, look, I am already shining. How can I bless other people? And it allows you to be in a space for that. So those two great questions, one, I highly encourage, I know I got off track here, but I highly encourage people to use those as affirmations and manifestations on a daily basis. Number two, and watch how it changes your life. But number two is ask great questions, even if you don't imply an answer, right? Even if you're not looking for the answer, but learning to ask great questions will lead to great results. And I think that that's something that we need to learn because the difference between a good and a bad question is, does one lead to results or does one create more question? And I think that that is where we start. Are we looking for a place of pondering? Is that what we really want? Or do we need to find results? So asking better questions should lead to faster results. Just a few thoughts on that. I would love to hear from you. I didn't mean to monologue for that long.
I love every single thing. Questions are so powerful. And if you want a better life, ask better questions, right? There's just such a power to it. I remember when I was on my religious mission, my trainer would always tell me that if it's important, you'll remember. Mm. And then leading from that, it went to him having me do this activity where nonstop for a full day, I had to continually ask questions in my head. And it didn't matter what the question was, it was just asking questions. So it could simply, as we're driving down the road, be like, oh, how is that sign made? What kind of bolts do they use? What kind of paints used? Who's the one that do it? Do they have different jobs than the ones who paint it? Who are the ones who do it? Like any questions that you do just throughout the whole day, I can tell you I did it. And by the end of the day, I had a headache because I was asking so many questions. But that brought on the principle of the power in asking questions. Because it was those questions that helped me realize that even though I think I know a lot, the more that I feel I know, the more that I realize I don't know. There's just so many things out there that we can learn. And the process of people wanting to either be perfect or be masters, and they say, oh, I need to know everything about it to become that. Well, that's not true, because the true masters know that the more that they learn, the more that they realize that there's just tenfold out there more for them to continue to learn. So putting that back to those big questions and the specific questions. One of my favorite questions, I watched this video and they were interviewing people and this guy came up and said, what would happen if you dreamed bigger? What would happen? And then he led that into, what would happen if you dream bigger and you accomplish that dream? And there was some kind of format. I know I'm not saying it in the right way. Some kind of format that he said that triggered this thing in my mind where I thought, wow, why am I stopping myself and asking what's going to go wrong in the business or my life or relationships that I create instead of what things can I make go right? And it's a nice shift in that change. The other thing I'd like to add, as we're wrapping this up, I'll throw it over to John in a second. But it's at when you go and like network or connect with people, being able to ask great questions yourself. So I'm going to share some of my favorite questions that I like to ask people, and then I'll turn it over to John. Three questions pop up that I always love to ask people. The first one is, what are you passionate about? Especially as someone who most of his friends and most of the people he talks with are in that college age. A lot of people are like, hey, are you in college? If you're in college, what's your major? How far are you in there? What are you going to do with that with your career? Standard questions. They were so boring for me when people asked me in college. But I remember someone asked me that question, what are you passionate about? And I was able to go into this just array of so many things I love to do. And then they led that further on and said, okay, are you doing something towards that? And at the time I wasn't, but now I am. And I think that had a little direction in it. So what are you passionate about? Helps people to take out what they love to do rather than more general questions of this is what I'm doing, not what I'm passionate about. The second question is, what is your story? Now, many people get caught up on this and be like, what do you mean by your story? And I have to elaborate of what's your life? Share with me some accomplishments that you did or some failures that you've made. What's your story? And after you dig, you might have to dig a little bit, but after you dig, they share just wonderful experience in their life. And whether that's the only question you ask and you have to leave afterwards, that will leave an impression on them more than any other question that I've found. Then my third question, I call this Willie's golden question. One of my favorites. It's, if you had no limit on time, money, connections, or resources, and didn't care what anyone else thought about you, what would you do? And this helps people to think about, if I didn't limit myself with what's happening, and if my worldly resources and people that I connect with and the money that I don't have, if all of that was just thrown out there, what would I want to do? And it opens it up to a wonderful, beautiful conversation of something that they're interested in. That's the power of questions. That's the power of being able to build, as we talk about in Champion Circle, and I know John's trained on this, the perpetual relationships, those deep connecting relationships. So John, those are some of my favorite questions. I'll turn it over to you for your closing thoughts.
You know, I've got to say, Willie, as we close this out, how grateful I am for this conversation. When I ask myself on a daily basis, how much better can it really get? And I jump into a call like this where we get to discuss some powerful principles and learn from each other. I am easily awakened and reminded of how powerful things can be if you're open to them. And I'm just grateful that you and I get to sit here, you know, virtually face to face and to just discuss some inner deep thoughts that we've incurred and have also developed over the years. And I'm learning so much in this moment, and truly how much better can it be? Cause I'm learning from you, and those were some powerful steps. I would highly recommend your listeners to to follow up on and to implement into their daily question asking. And I think it's important for us to recognize that we come full circle in today's conversation, that the short question is the implication of what is my one thing? But the long question, as stated earlier, and I'll just reread it, it says, the question should be, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will either be easier or unnecessary? And I love that you suggested that as the one question, whether that was from the book or you created it, I don't remember. But I'm grateful for it because, again, it's an implication. Using good questions and saying the right thing will help you identify a solution faster, because what we're implying is there is just one thing. And if you simplify everything, that's how businesses grow. There's incredible, incredible power in identifying the most important thing to do. I always know what I'm supposed to do, but for some reason, my fears, my inadequacies, my energy wants to pull from the little wins, the little tasks, and the little things that would be easier to do, because it is human nature to do what's easy. But remember, your one thing is truly one important step. And if you know anything about me and what I speak on stages, that you got to take one important step every single day towards your destination.
I love that. Great, great words to end on. Listeners, champions, thank you for joining us for this wonderful episode on Champion Reads, where we talked about the one thing, about that one question, which is in the book. That's the one thing question he mentions, as well as going into the big and specific questions and asking great questions to get great answers to then have a great life. As we close, if you have found inspiration, go ahead and subscribe to Champion Reads, where we go into the best-selling books from best-selling authors and talk more about the principles that have helped us in our life and that can hopefully help in yours. If you want to find us on social media, you can go ahead and go to mychampioncircle.com. There you'll be able to find all of our social links, as well as if you want to join our Champion Circle community, you'll find links there as well to join other champions and have just a group of support and a community where high achievers, high performers, the legends in their industries, and the masters, all of us get together and to be able to thrive in our own lives. And until then, we'll see you later, champions.